Thank you. So good to be together. I know I've been out for a couple of weeks, and I'm looking eagerly to when the schedule has me back a lot more, and it's just around the corner. It just feels like, where's my family? And you're right here. And I wanted to focus today on where most of us have been this week, and where the whole nation has been, called giving thanks, although what we give thanks for and who we give thanks to is very different in a very diverse world in which we live. And our focus as followers of Jesus is we give thanks to the one who is good. His love endures forever. Amen? Amen. And even going back to the goodness of God where we were at a few weeks ago, just to be reminded of that as we're singing that, how good he is, and we do give him thanks. So I'm going to move through a number of passages today. I'm not sure exactly where the Spirit will lead us. I'll kind of keep my eye on the clock back there since I forgot my watch this morning. And that's always dangerous to forget your watch when you're preaching. So, of course, you're thinking, what difference does it make anyway? He goes on and on and on. So, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18, 19. If you ever wanted to memorize a lot of really short verses, here they are. Verse 16, be joyful always. Be joyful always. Verse 17, pray continually. Oh, what's that like? Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And in verse 19, don't put out the Spirit's fire. And I think they're all connected to these verses. When we're not rejoicing, and when we're not in prayer, and when we're not giving thanks, my sense in my own walk with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is I don't hear them very well when I'm not tuned in. They're kind of out there, and they might show up on Sunday when I'm in worship, or maybe they show up when I've got a local station on and a Christian song comes on and it's like, oh, that was for me, and then you kind of check out. And the reality is always, continually, in all circumstances. So today is about giving thanks, and we're going to have some time at the end of the message to share, if you would like to share. Just what are you thankful for, and maybe what are we thankful for? Kind of the individual and the corporate picture. And I'll try to keep in mind where the clock is at so we can do that and then move into communion. But give thanks. Thank you notes to God. Thanksgiving. Thank you. Thank you, God. The word thanks and thanksgiving and giving thanks, it's like 137 times in the New Testament. It is a word that Paul used throughout his letters, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But when you begin to focus on a word and how often it jumps out at you, I think it's like thanks is one of the top 25 words that we use in culture today. At least in America. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I smile when I hear how often that thank you comes electronically. So the company I work for 3 days a week driving a vehicle, one of the things we have is a unlimited car wash at Mr. Car Wash on all of our vehicles. And every time we're out, we're supposed to at least once per shift go through the car wash. And I always smile when I get to the end of the car wash, this voice comes out and says, thank you for your business. It's like, oh, yes, that was sincere. And I know it came from a good heart, from the company. But it's just that electronically, it's the thank you, thank you, thank you. And even in our own relationships, how often we use thanks. It's there continually. Thanks is a huge part of our relationship with God. We heard it from Psalm 105 this morning in the reading. I woke up this morning and opened my daily reading, and it was Psalm 95, and it was about giving thanks to God in those opening verses. It's a part of that relationship that we have with God. But it's not only just a word. I believe that it moves from giving thanks verbally to living out thanks. And that's why I think about from thanksgiving to thanks living. How do I become an ambassador for Jesus Christ? How do I become his tool and his vessel, his hands and his ears and his eyes in a world that needs to know what his hands and his eyes and his ears are like? And so I want to take some time this morning to just focus a little bit more on the depth of giving thanks and how Paul was so adamant in particular through his letters. And if you read of the account in Acts, it begins like in Acts 16. You can read about places like Philippi and Colossae and Thessalonians and all the places that he went, and he's writing letters to them. You need to remember the context of those letters. They were letters from prison. He was in prison during this time. He's chained to a Roman guard this time. He's waiting to be tried in Rome for whatever they were going to try him for because of his belief and because of how he moved and lived and had his being. And yet, as he writes to all these churches, it's about thanksgiving that takes place. I just go back. I'm going to read a little bit from a few of the passages, invite you to listen in. So almost every one of Paul's letters begins with thanksgiving in the first chapter or so. 2 Thessalonians, I'm just going to kind of move backwards for a moment from these later letters to some of the earlier letters. Verses 3, 4, and 5. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. The love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. We ought always to thank God for all of you, brothers and sisters. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in all our prayers. We remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the thank yous continue to the church at Thessalonians. It's the church at Colossae, Colossians chapter 1. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and the love that spring from the hope that's stored up for you in heaven, about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. And the thank you note continues. Take some time. Go back to these letters. They're rich. To the church at Philippi. And we'll get to a later section on Philippians in just a little bit to wrap up the message. But he begins the letter, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you is going to carry it to the completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Powerful. And this is to the church. I mean, so many of the letters, I used to grab these verses and kind of just individualize those, and I think I can take it and apply it that way. But they were written to communities. They were written to groups of people. They were written to the river kinds of places where they were gathering in their houses over those first 300 years of the church. They didn't have a church building. They weren't located in a place. They were in their homes together, extended families. They were there to share. Each one had an opportunity to share what God was doing in their lives. And they were walking out in a world that had not heard. They didn't have volumes of books written about Jesus. There weren't commentaries out there. There was not the Bible that they could go back in terms of the New Testament and read it, because it was still in the process. And they were a part of the process. And we're a part of a process. We're a part of the continuing body and family of Christ Jesus. So in the church of Ephesus, again, it's the thank you. Beginning at verse 15 of chapter 1. Ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory, his inheritance in the holy people, his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. And he continues that thanksgiving just flows. It's powerful. It's rich. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I happen to think when we stop giving thanks, when we stop rejoicing always, when we stop praying, that's when the Spirit gets quenched in our lives. I think the world loves to quench the Spirit. I think there are good things out there. They're not evil, they're not bad, that end up interfering like static from our ability to hear what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have to say to us. Things that can provide good things, but they're not the best thing that God has for us. It's what the writer writes about, I believe, in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12 when he talks about throwing off the stuff that entangles. And the stuff that may even be good, but it gets in your way of hearing and seeing God, throw it off and keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. And be joyful always. I mean, is anybody attracted to Christ by a grumpy Christian? When I'm not at my best, is that attracting somebody to Jesus? When I'm irritated by the driver in front of me cutting me off, and I'd like to come alongside and give him a piece of my mind. Does that exhibit a Christ-like heart? I think I probably have shared already with you, there have been times I've been tempted to do that. I am really ticked, and I'm riding about next to the car, and I'm about ready to say, and it's like the Holy Spirit awakens my heart and says, what if they show up in church on Sunday morning and you're preaching? You know, it's kind of like, what happens if I'm not living it out, not to earn something, but to exhibit the heart of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to exhibit the love and the joy and the peace and all the fruits of the Spirit that we've been looking at? But when going to church becomes an act of religious service rather than a hunger and a thirst to grow, not just in love with Jesus, but to grow in love with each other as his family on earth and his bride and his body and his army, as we prayed it in a while ago. So be joyful always. Pray continually. There are times I have 911 prayers, and it's really short. It's this: help. Anybody else have help prayers? Like, oh man, what am I going to do here? And that's okay. We can have help prayers. But they're within the whole conversation that we have with God, from the time that we realize we have a pulse in the morning to the time that we're drifting off to sleep at night to the middle of the night when we're awakened and we can't get back to sleep. We're invited to be in conversation with our Creator and our Savior and the one who empowers us and shapes us. And they're right there 24/7, tuned in, waiting to hear. And we have this opportunity to pray continually. But we also have this opportunity to give thanks. Giving thanks in all things. Giving thanks for restoration, right? Pastor Cal preached on and taught about restoration last week and being restored. Powerful what God does through his Son Jesus Christ and the gift of life that's been given to us. When we move from just giving thanks to thanks living, there's traction that happens. And there's not just traction. I think there's attraction. People want to hear more about what puts smiles on our faces, what gives us joy, what stretches us beyond what we can do and allows us to move only in what God can do. And I go back to Philippians for just a moment, because in Philippians chapter 4, it's not just at the opening of Philippians that Paul writes this thank you to the about this church in Philippi. But Paul had a relationship with the church at Philippi as he was led into a new region of the world to bring the good news of great joy for all the people. You can read about it in Acts chapter 16, and the Philippian jailer and the young gal who was a slave and had Paul and Silas put in prison, and how they escaped in the middle of the night when there was this earthquake and all the shackles fell off and they were free to go. And the person who was in charge of the whole prison became a believer, and his whole family and all of his servants in the church at Philippi was growing quickly. And then a little bit later in Philippians chapter 4, Paul is writing about his thanks to them in an extended thank you note. And this is what it sounds like. I'll read it and just comment on a little bit. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, but I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it's like to be in need. I know what it's like to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living or in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. What happened is the Philippian people, while Paul was out in great needy times, including prison, they sent help to him. They sent somebody to come on their behalf and to help care for Paul and some of his needs. So he says to them, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more to be credited to your account. I've received full payment. I have more than enough. I'm amply supplied. Now that I've received from Epaphroditus, one of their leaders who came to deliver the gifts that you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. What a thank you note. What the reality, what a church was doing, and how they were responding to Paul's needs. And even Paul, my God's going to meet every need of yours. I think we live in a culture where marketing has this thinking that we don't have anything we really need, right? We all need the latest vehicle. We all need Amazon to quickly say, here's what we've been tracking in your life as we've been listening in on Alexa. And all at once the advertisement shows up. Isn't that spooky? I mean, my wife and I will be sitting in the living room and having a conversation about something we're maybe thinking of buying, and all at once this little box called Alexa goes, bing, and it'll be like, we have something you might be interested in, right? Anybody have that experience? It's really weird. It's like you're being tracked, Tom. And I should check that out. And then after a while, you have an opportunity not just to buy it. Maybe you're not quite ready to buy it. You got to think about it. So you put it in your cart, right? Anybody have a cart with Amazon? And it kind of loads up for a while. And make sure you don't hit purchase without unloading your cart of other things you don't want, right? Because there's lots of stuff that we want that we don't really need. And Paul is not talking about God's going to meet all of your wants. He's talking about he's going to meet your needs. And deep down, it isn't stuff that I need. It's relationships. It's identity. I think people need to know who they are. They need to know that they're sons and daughters of the Most High. And then stepping out and being that ambassador, that voice, those hands and those ears of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit isn't anything about earning something or God finally loving me because I did something really good for him. He loved me to begin with. And I'm just living it out. I'm just giving thanks to him in the action that takes place in my life. And it's why Paul writes to the church at Colossae in chapter 3, whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, whatever you do. That happens like all the time, right? I happen to do all the shopping for groceries. I always have. I loved it. I used to work in a grocery store, managed it for a while. And so I love getting groceries. And along the way, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes to the reality that when I go to the grocery store, it may not be really to get groceries. There's people all around. People waiting to hear good news. And we got to be tuned into it. So I'm going to share a post from a friend. And I didn't get a chance to talk to her, so I'm not going to use her name, and I'm not going to do anything that will expose who she is, other than to say she was a member of a church that I pastored for a while. And she posted this on Wednesday night, just before Thanksgiving. She says, I was originally only going to write this to my children, but he's just too good not to shout about his provision. Please also know my heart. I share this to brag on him, not me. I'm only posting to show how good our Father is, so, so good, and the Father of miracles. Today I went through the car wash on Kenowa in Granville. I typically drive through and then head to the vacuums and use a towel to dry the nooks and crannies. I parked next to a very dirty car that just looked out of sorts. There was a guy and a little girl who were outside the car, and we were sharing a vacuum back and forth for a bit, and I was trying to complete this task very fast as it's the day before Thanksgiving, and I'd already been running errands for about 4 hours, and I had multiple things on my to-do list. But they struck me. This car was so dirty. And he was throwing out multiple food items and trash. And I got a quick glimpse of inside and my stomach dropped. There was trash everywhere. I'm not exactly sure where he could even sit. They were certainly living out of their car. They even had an out-of-state license plate. They were only using the free vacuums and trash bins, not the wash. There was a woman in the driver's seat and two other little kids in the back, all precious, just watching their dad and big sister. And I could see the father's protective heart over his daughter as she was dancing around the car, trying to help, yet also being a distraction and worry to him. He kept saying, "Stay close. Don't go over there. I love you. I like that you're helping me, but you need to listen to what I'm telling you." I wanted to say to him, "I promise I'm safe. I won't hurt your precious little one. It's okay." But all of this was just in my head, and I started praying. "Father, I want to help them, to give them something. But I have no cash on me right now. I have a few bags of cans in the trunk, but that's weird and could be offensive to offer them some cheap can money. Plus, they may not even understand that we return cans for money in Michigan. This is where I give him all the glory and honor of how he cares for all of his children. 30 seconds later, as I'm vacuuming, I see 4 bills crisp and folded under the front seat, all of them brand new and perfect, a 50, a 20, and 2 tens, $90 cash for them. And in that moment, I knew it was him. I'm a very organized and disciplined person, and I got to tell you, she is. I know her quite well. If I misplaced $90, I would have known. I didn't have a $50 bill touch my hand in weeks. This was a miracle, and this was for them, and it was beyond freaky, and I had never seen something show up before out of thin air. So I said to him, "Sir, I know this is weird, but this just happened, and I know my father wants me to give this to you. I proceeded to tell him that I was praying for them and that the $90 was under my seat, almost ready to get vacuumed up. He replied that he couldn't take it and said that I said he has to. It's truly not mine, but his. He said thank you and asked if he could give me a hug. We hugged and then I left. I knew in my heart that if I was ever going to be obedient in a moment, this was it, yet it wasn't done. As I pulled away, the Holy Spirit said to me, thank you, but don't you think you could also speak over them? Money is one thing, but your words and the power they represent are much bigger. Oh, geez. I'm going to have to turn around and hopefully not freak them out more. I pulled up to them again and apologized for being intrusive and asked if I could pray over them. I'll stop the story here because we prayed over their needs and other details. But God, exclamation point, our God, he's amazing and real and ever ready to bless all of his children. I just thank him that I got to be a vessel today. Amen? I mean, God, I don't know what God will do, but it may be not even as tangible as $90. It might be a word of just hope or a smile or a word of encouragement in a place that's unexpected. And we just need to continue to learn in our walk with listening to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we rejoice and as we pray that we give thanks in all things. And amazingly, watch the resource that God has for us, beginning just with who we are, sons and daughters of the Most High. Beginning with the realization that we don't have to earn God's love. We live in his love. We bask in his love. It's his love that is total and complete and unconditional, and he doesn't abandon us or leave us alone. He is with us right here, always. And the Holy Spirit is right there to help us to tune in, to listen. And do we get it right all the time? Absolutely not. Is it scary to step out and do such things? Yes, it's scary. I've been there too often, and I've done that. I haven't had money show up like that. As she wrote, I've never had something like this happen before. It is just really odd. But it's not about the oddness. It's about the reality of a God who is caring for somebody and growing somebody in their ability to hear and to follow and give God the glory. And so I give him thanks for the story that happened and that she shared. And it's not about that story that we come to in terms of what's it all about. It's about where we're going to go next. It's called communion in just a moment. It's that restoration story that in all of our brokenness, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are pleased with who we are as sons and daughters of the Most High. I get to call Jesus my brother. I don't have a real brother on earth. I have a couple of sisters. That's pretty good. But here's a brother. Here's somebody I can lean on, I can look to, who is there to travel with me through the Holy Spirit who's in my heart, who has not abandoned me or us or you, who is right there leading and guiding. And sometimes miracles happen. We're called to be these Spirit-anointed prophets who bring good news. I think some good news got brought Wednesday night. Some really good news of great joy. We're called to be priests who bring healing in the midst of brokenness. And sometimes we just need to come aside people who are in their brokenness and their deepest need and help carry the load with them. And it's a part of the healing that happens in their heart, in the reality that God does love them, and we get to be a living example of God's love to them without saying, look at me, because I keep going back again to Hebrews chapter 12. Don't look at me. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, who for the hope set before him endured the cross, and the hope was paying the price for our sin. And so we give him thanks. We give him praise. But we're also called to be kings, and kings rule. Kings protect. Kings step up to the plate. And we're called to be spirit-empowered kings in the very communities that we're a part of to make a difference, just a small difference, a little bit, a part of the puzzle. If you think about a 500-piece puzzle, my wife does puzzles always. I do not like doing puzzles. She loves her 1,000-piece puzzles. She does them on her iPad. It's like, how do you do a 1,000-piece puzzle on your iPad? If I take one piece of a puzzle, it looks pretty meaningless, right? It's like, I love getting the corner piece. I got four corners to work with. Unless it's a circle, they drive me nuts, right? But I got a piece. But what happens when I put a 1,000-piece puzzle together, spend hours doing, for me it'd be weeks and months, and I get all done and there's one piece missing? You notice it, don't you? Like, there's a piece missing there. And I think of that many ways of, like, the church. We are all a piece of a puzzle. We all have our piece. And there are pieces that are missing. That's why we're called to thanksgiving, to living out the love of Jesus, to touch those in our lives, and to pray, Lord, where are you at work, and where are you beckoning me to come and join you as the prophet who brings good news, and the priest who brings healing, and the king who takes on protective rulership and steps out? Remember, Jesus gave his disciples power, dunamis, and authority. Authority is stepping out in our identity as sons and daughters and being able to say to the enemy, I'm a son or I'm a daughter of the Most High. You need to leave me alone. You need to leave my family alone. You need to leave my neighborhood alone. You need to leave my church alone. You need to be out of here. And in the name of Jesus Christ, be gone. I give him thanks that he gives us the power and the authority. So I think I'm done there. I haven't looked at my notes lately. I don't know. I'm looking at the clock and thinking, I want to hear from you if you might want to share a few things about giving thanks. Just what are you thankful for individually? It doesn't have to be a story like the one I just shared. It can just be a simple one-word thing. And as we do that, that we'd be able to give thanks to God for what he's doing in your lives. And also, what about us together? What is there something that we, the river in Elgin, can give God thanks for?